You'll turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5 this morning. Galatians chapter 5. We'll be reading two verses there, verses 16 and 17. I'll read verse 16 if you'll join with me, verse 17 in Galatians. And if you found Galatians chapter 5, if you please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. Just two verses this morning, Galatians chapter 5. I'll read verse 16 if you'll join with me on verse 17 in Galatians chapter 5. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. And let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for coming already this morning. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would do its work in the message this morning, the hearts, lives, the folks that are in here. Lord, I pray you would bless. Lord, we need the Holy Spirit and anointing to come down on the speaker, upon as well the song this morning we hear as we prepare our hearts for the message. We'll give you all the glory and praise. In your name we pray. Amen.
Some time since I made up my mind to make Jesus Lord of my life. But I've dealt with fears and shed many tears, but Jesus has stood by my side. Then I heard Satan say, you're not even safe, traveling down the wrong track. I recall once again where grace withstood sin, down memory's lane, I take him back to a time at an old-fashioned meeting, where the presence of God filled the air, where the saints were singing out grace and glory, sweet melody, seasoned with prayer, where one simple sermon from an old-fashioned preacher was like life to a poor dying slave. Now I'd walk him down the aisle to a place at the altar where grace fell and I know I got saved. Now I never knew love till it came from above and took its abode in my heart. Sun now shines brighter, my burden is lighter, since Jesus gave me a new start. My songs have been changed, my life's rearranged, my journey is now a new road. Now when that old accuser tells me I am a loser, I remind him how he lost my soul. And I take him back to a time at an old-fashioned meeting where the presence of God filled the air, where the saints were singing of grace and glory, sweet melody seasoned with prayer, where one simple sermon from an old-fashioned preacher was like life to a poor dying slave. Now I'd walk him down the aisle to a place at the altar where grace fell and I know I got saved. Where one simple sermon from an old-fashioned preacher was like life to a poor dying slave. Now I'd walk him down the aisle to a place at the altar where grace fell and I know I got saved. Where grace fell and I know I got saved.
Praise the Lord. That's a blessing, wasn't it? Good singing today. Thank you, Caleb and Emily. That was a blessing to my heart. That's all it takes sometimes. One simple sermon from God's book can literally change your life. And too many testimonies, living testimonies of that fact to deny it. And a great song for our hearts this morning. All right, weak link. This number three message, who can help me? Weak link, who can help me? Let's pray together and we'll get started from the text today in Galatians chapter 5. Thank you, Lord, for the day that you saved us. It may not have been at an altar. It may have been at the altar. It may have been at home. May have been in the seat of the car, may have been at work, beside the bed, at night, somewhere. Lord, thank you for the day we got saved. And if there's somebody here this morning that's not had that joy of having their sins forgiven and being a name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and washed in the blood of Christ. I pray that today might be the day they get saved, oh God. And I pray that you'll use the message to that end. And for those of us that are saved, may a message help us to live for you. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. And amen. Quick review. Message number one in the series here on Sunday mornings on Weak Links. 2 weeks ago, the thought was, are weak links common? Are they common to man? And yes, they are common to every individual. The weak link in every person is the sin nature. And for the last two Sundays, I've talked about the fruitlessness of trying to treat the symptoms without going to the cause. Trying to fix the leaf instead of going to the root. And that's what we're talking about here. The weak link in every person is the sin nature. We got it from our parents at birth, who got it from their parents at birth, who got it from their parents at birth, and so forth and so on. Everybody has the weak link of sin. Now, it doesn't demonstrate itself the same in every person's life. Look at verse number 19. And we're going to look here a couple times this morning, so I hope you keep your Bible open. But Galatians 5:19. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. I'm going to stop right there. You can see a list goes all the way through the beginning of verse number 21. Now, the weak link of sin demonstrates itself in some of those ways in different people's lives. Okay? But those are just the symptoms, folks. That's just a symptom. The sin nature is the weak link. That's what causes all our problems. Okay? And so every person has the weak link of a sin nature that demonstrates itself in different ways in our lives. Number two, last week's lesson message was, is there any hope for my weak link? Is there any hope? Yes, there is hope. Hope is found where God is. And God is found at our sincere and honest confession. Too many people trying to dress up the leaves instead of going to the root cause. That's where hope is found. Our subject last week was Jacob. And he came to that place where he sincerely and honestly and humbly admitted and confessed his sin of deception. What is your name? My name is Jacob. Deceiver. Trickster. That's who I am. And when he got down to the root, that's where he found hope, because that's where you find God, friend. When you get honest and sincere with God, my mind goes back to Brother Coral being here in years gone by on Sunday mornings and asking people this question. Say, look, folks, if you know you're saved, raise your hand. Then he'll say this. Now, be honest. Please be honest. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. And he always says this. You can't help a dishonest person. You know, God's not going to be around where dishonesty is. But when you and I get honest, when we get down to the brass tacks, if you want to put it in that kind of vernacular, and get honest with God, that's where we'll find hope, because that's where God is. God is at the sincere and honest confession. So Jacob confesses. He finds hope there because he finds God there. And God changes his life. Changes Jacob's life. I mean, just changes it. So yes, weak links are common to all people, and yes, there is hope for weak links when you and I decide to get honest and sincere and forthright with God. Then God can help us. Now, this week we're going to talk about this. Who can help us with the demonstration of our weak link? Who can help us get the victory? Who can help us get our life under control and live for the glory of God? That's the topic for today's message. Who can help us? Now, we're in the book of Galatians, okay? Galatians is a book about sanctification. So let's pause here just a moment in the message and go over what sanctification means for people who are new to our church, new to Christianity. Maybe you haven't been here for a while or whatever, but sanctification is all involved in the great matter of salvation. I'll use the platform again this morning for the illustration. We're going to let this microphone stand today represent what we call justification, okay? Now, on this side of justification is where you and I are born into this life. We're born with a sin nature apart from God. Now, the Bible has all kinds of names for it. Calls it the old man, the old nature, the flesh, the sin nature. Everybody comes into this world born like this, okay? So this represents justification. This is that moment in life where a person receives Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. When they get saved, they are born into the family of God, and they are given a new nature. The Bible calls it the new man. More terminology would be the Spirit of God, all right? And the new man, the new nature. All of that moves into a person the moment they get saved. That's what Brother Caleb and Emily sang about. I take him back to the time at an old-fashioned meeting where the Spirit, and I don't remember all the words, but it's good. Amen. And so, that's where he got saved. As we talk about, that's justification, where you got saved. Now, let me ask you, can you remember this? I don't remember this microphone. Can you remember getting saved? Some of you got saved at 5 and 6 years of age, and it's difficult to remember all the circumstances involved, but there might be somebody in the room this morning. If you go back in your mind, you drift back over the years. There's no point in time where you got saved. It's not a process. You don't grow into it. It doesn't happen by osmosis. It's the result of the decision a person makes to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Justified, okay? It's a one-time act of God by His grace, which makes us just as if we'd never sinned. It's wonderful, okay? Justification. Now, this end of the platform, we're going to let this microphone stand, represent what we call glorification, okay? Glorification. What is glorification? Glorification is what's going to happen at the point in time when every person who has been justified sees Jesus Christ. And when they see, well, you say, when will they see Jesus Christ? When they leave this world by way of the grave or by way of the rapture. Okay? Saved people are going to leave this world, this dispensation, by the way of the grave or by the way of the rapture. And when a saved person dies and sees Jesus Christ, they are glorified. By the way, glorification happens just like sanctification. Glorification happens just like justification. In a moment, instantaneously, as soon as you trust Christ, you're justified. Then as soon as we see Jesus, we're going to be glorified. I don't have time to go into all this. This is a wonderful event right here, folks, because we become like Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, this day we won't have a cold. We won't have the flu. That'd be a blessing, won't it? No more blood sugar problems like Brother John had this morning. All of that is taken care of. And you know what the honest truth of the matter is? In my mind, I don't enjoy being sick. But in my mind, even better than that, no more sin nature. Won't that be a blessing? No more sin nature. Just like Jesus, glorified. Okay? So, justification, get it down now, you're not born saved, you're born on this side of justification, born without God, born apart from the Lord. Comes a point in your life where you hear the gospel, Christ died, was buried, and rose again to pay for our salvation, and you trust Christ, and you're saved. Now, then you're going to live your life, and one of these days you're going to see Jesus, and you're going to be glorified. Justified, glorified. Justification, glorification. Now, in this in-between time, okay, for me, this was October 15th, 1975. For a couple of folks here this morning, their justification came last Sunday during the Sunday school hour, and they trusted Christ as Savior. Okay, they got baptized last Sunday. Now, justification came for me October 15th, 1975. I'm still on this side of dirt, and I'm pretty sure the rapture hasn't happened yet. Okay? All right? So I'm not glorified. So I'm in the process here. Between justification and glorification is what the Bible refers to as sanctification. Being sanctified. And the word means, it has all kinds of meaning. Being separated means holy. To put it very simply, it means sanctification. You know, this is a one-time thing right here. Justification is a one-time thing. Trust Christ, you're justified. Glorification is a one-time thing. See Christ, you're glorified. But sanctification is a work of God in my life and in your life during this time. Watch me now, to make me less and less like what I used to be and more like what I'm going to be. Okay? This is my goal, folks. My goal through however many days God gives me. My goal ought to be to become more and more like Jesus Christ. I'll never, ever get to that place until I see Him personally, face to face and glorified. But if God is able to do in me what God wants to do, He is sanctifying me. He's making me more and more like what I'm going to be and less like what I used to be. Does that make sense this morning? That's sanctification. Okay? Now I want you to see this, okay? Before you're justified, old nature, old man, sin nature. Old man, sin nature, old nature, okay? Flesh, that's all we got. Justified, I get the new nature. I get the Spirit of God. Glorified, I lose the sin nature. Now it's all new. Now it's all God. It's all Jesus, all the Spirit of God. No more sin nature. But in this time period between justification and glorification, in this process of sanctification, I have old nature, new nature, living in the same house. What's going on in every believer's life this morning, every person in this room who is saved, you can go back to a time where you trusted Christ as your Savior, you got born into God's family. You've got two natures living inside of you right now. You've got the old nature and you've got the new nature. Living in your body. Look at verse number 16. Look at what Paul said. He said, "So this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So the Spirit and the flesh, both living in the same body, both living in the same house. Folks, and right now, I'm talking about right now. While we sit in this service right now, we are under the power of, we are under the control of either the flesh or the Spirit. Now look at me. Just because you came to church this morning doesn't mean you're under the control of the Spirit. Just because I'm preaching this morning doesn't mean I'm under the control of the Spirit. I have preached and probably will again under the control of the flesh. And people come to church and sit in the church service under the power of or the control of the flesh or the old age. By the way, you know, those two, look at verse number 17. Look at what it says here. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other. There's a war. There's a battle. There's a contrariness between the old nature and the new nature. A contrariness between the flesh and the Spirit. A contrariness between the old man and the new man. I'm talking, that's why right now, part of you might be saying, oh, I'm so tired of this. What time is it going to end? What am I going to do? You got something planned today and you're thinking about tomorrow and I'm just here because it makes my wife happier. It makes my husband glad that I come or it pleases my dad and I'm not listening to this and when is this going to be over and it gets too loud and then it gets too quiet and I can't hear and it's too hot and it's too cold. Yeah. And the Spirit's there saying, listen, listen, pay attention. This could help you. Listen, listen. There's two things going on. There's a battle going on in our bodies right now. The flesh versus the Spirit. The old man versus the new man. The old man versus the new man. The old nature versus the new nature. You know, they don't much like each other. I kind of get the idea. They don't care for each other. They both want the same thing. They want control over our lives. And if we let the flesh rule, if we let the old nature rule, if we let the old man dominate, we give control to him, then we're going to get verses 19 through 21. Look at it. That's what you're going to have. The works of the flesh are manifest. Here's the works of the old nature. This is just a sampling, if you will, of the works of the old nature. All those things there. Verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, on and on. Those are all works of the flesh. You say those can only be produced in the life of an unbeliever. No, 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 no. Those can be produced or demonstrated in the life of a believer. Yes. Because that's the works of the flesh. Okay? That's the work of the old nature, and I still got the old nature in me. But if we let the Spirit rule, if I give control to the Spirit, we're going to live like verses 22 and 23. Look at this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Then those things are going to be in my life. So, in answer to the question, who can help me with my weak link? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is able to strengthen us to the point where we can live without the weak link of sin demonstrating itself in our lives every day, day after day. Friend of mine, by the way, if the weak link of sin continues to demonstrate itself in your life and you feel no conviction and you feel no remorse and you feel no regret and you're just as happy as you can be to have those fruits of the flesh just lived out through you, then you have to check your salvation. But every Christian is going to battle the works of the flesh. All right? Some months ago, I told you about a man from England who lived many years ago, an English preacher by the name of Billy Bray. He was a Cornish miner who lived a wicked and lascivious life before he got saved. But when he got saved, God changed his life. I mean, he was a coal miner and would talk and say things that most coal miners would talk about and say. And when God changed him, he changed Billy completely. And he went from a life of cursing and ugliness and anger to a life of joy and happiness as a child of God. So much so that his minor friends called him the dancing preacher. And the history says that the people that wrote the books on Billy Bray, so he'd walk down the street, and with every footstep, it was, amen, glory to God, hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory to God, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen. I'm glad to be. He was a happy, happy, happy Christian. Before he had been an ugly, angry, cursing man. You see, the Spirit of God in Billy Bray gave him the power to overcome the flesh. Now, he still had the old sin nature. He still had the weak link of sin, but he quit living under the power of that. Started living under the power of the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, let me say two or three things this morning to save people. I'm going to make that very clear. If you are not saved, if you haven't been justified, you have one need this morning. That need is to humbly repent of your sin and confess to God that you need the salvation He has provided. That without it, you're going to be separated from Him in hell forever, and you do not want to delay any longer trusting His Son for salvation. That's it. Now, if you're saved, I want to say three or four things this morning. Number one, saved person who would like some help with a weak link. Number one, you have the Spirit of God living in you. Well, I already knew that. Do we? Listen to these texts. Paul writes to Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3, the church, the saved people, in verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And then he comes back in chapter 6, verse number 19, to the same people and says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Now, folks, both of those verses approach the matter in the same way. Christian, don't you know? Christian, have you forgotten? Christian, don't you remember? Christian, have you neglected to think that the Holy Spirit lives in you? People, if Paul asked the church at Corinth that on two different occasions in this epistle, I don't think it's there for just by coincidence. This must be a problem that God's people are given to. We must get to the place where we're so busy and so caught up with life that we forget. We're not reminded. We're not thoughtful of the fact that His Spirit lives in us. The Spirit of God lives in God's people. And it's like God's people have to be reminded over and over again. The Spirit of God lives in you. He's not just with you, not just around you in the world. He is in you, all of Him. The person of the Holy Spirit moved in and took up residence the moment we got saved. The Spirit of God lives in me. Whoa. Well, that changes things. That's why when I'm on the elliptical, I'm trying to watch the news or something, or something comes on there that's not good for me, something or... Let me get more clear. Someone says turn that off. Spirit of God lives in me. I take Him everywhere I go. He hears every word I say. He's with me. Not just with me, He is in me. So we have the Spirit of God living in us, and I'm not just preaching to the choir this morning because the Apostle Paul said it two or three times to people in churches in the New Testament, back in the first century of the New Testament. It's like God's people need to be reminded over and over and over again. Don't forget, hey, have you thought about this? Have you been mindful lately that God's Spirit lives in you? And I'm not really coming at it this morning from a fearful thing. I'm coming at it from a helpful thing. Because let me say number two, the Spirit of God. Now listen to this. This is, she goes, boy, I came to church to hear that the Spirit of God lives in me. And I already knew that, but when's the last time you thought about it? And number two, the Spirit of God has all the attributes of God. I don't have time for this morning, folks. Let me just, He's omniscient. God is, God the Father is omniscient. You know what omniscient means? It means all-knowing. The Spirit of God is all-knowing. The Spirit of God is omnipresent. God is omnipresent. He's always everywhere. The Spirit of God is omnipresent. But now here's the one I want to draw in on this morning. The Spirit of God is omnipotent. Potent. What's potent mean? Powerful. What's omni means? Omni means all. God the Father is all powerful. Is Jesus all powerful? Well, His testimony was, all power is given unto me. And the Holy Spirit is not some third person kind of down here at the bottom of the totem pole that is God. The Holy Spirit has all power just like the Son and the Father have all power. It's not thirded up, a third for you, Father, a third for you, Son, and a third for you, Spirit. No, all the combined power of the Godhead rests in the person of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the power that spoke the worlds into existence. Let there be light. We're talking about the power that breathed life into that sculpture of dust. And Adam became a living soul. The Spirit of God has all power. Now, folks, listen. The flesh is powerful. Flesh is powerful. Flesh is strong. It's got to be dealt with. It's strong. But the Spirit of God is all-powerful. The flesh is not all-powerful. God's Spirit is all-powerful. When I give control of my life to my flesh, I am giving control, I am yielding control to the lower power. I am effectively allowing the lower power to rule over me while the higher power goes untapped. Got a lady. Here's a husband and wife. And the husband is working on the car in the driveway. And the wife is watching and handing in tools or whatever. And the car, it's up on those axle jacks that you've seen, you know, with the pins or whatever. And so the car rolls a little bit. He's on a cart. What do you call that thing? Creeper. Underneath the car, and he's working on it, and the car shifts a little bit, and the jack and the car falls on him. And she looks and, oh, by the way, that happened to Rex Dela Cruz. And she looks over here, and to her right in the yard outside is this 28-year-old weightlifter. He's pushing the lawnmower. He's mowing the grass. He's got the strength and of a youth, and man, biceps bulging, and strong guy, barrel-chested, bench-pressing, crazy. He's over there mowing the grass, and she looks at this. She looks over here, and here's this 10-year-old boy riding his bike in the driveway. And she says, "Help me, help me, help me. Hey, boy, come help me. I got to get this all car off my husband. Come help me." You say, well, that's ludicrous. That's ridiculous. Yeah, I know. About like you and me, yielding control to the flesh. Boy, I'm going to live for God today. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get control of this anger. I got my self-help books here. I got my 2 dozen self-help books that are nothing more than manuals to teach me how to reach down into myself and find the vision and the strength and the wherewithal to win the victory. You are saved. The Spirit of God, all powerful Spirit of God, lives in your body. There is no higher power. None. I wish all of us would believe that. The higher power is within me, and it's not within my flesh. It's within me in the person of the Holy Spirit. I am just as ludicrous and just as ridiculous to rely on some self-help philosophy to help me quit drinking or quit smoking. I don't mean me personally, but I mean, I have the, you know, I'm talking about, you know, or quit. Well, the dancing preacher, the drink, we got the drinking preacher, okay. But to get my tongue under control, and by the way, since I got saved, I haven't had a problem with alcohol and that kind of stuff, but I have had a problem with my tongue. And I want to tell you something. It takes the same power of the Spirit of God to get the tongue under control as it does the bottle. He's within me. The Spirit of God, who has all the attributes of God, including His power, lives within me. I got to hurry because I got to get to point four because I like it. I like these two, but I really like point four. Number three. Now hear me, stay with me. Both want to fulfill their works in my life. Both, flesh and spirit. Old man, new man. Old nature, new nature. Both want to fulfill their works in my life. Look at verse 16. He says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill." Fulfill. The lust of the flesh. The Spirit wants to fulfill His work in my life and in your life. And the flesh wants to fulfill its work in my life and in your life. The flesh wants me to be angry, adulterous, hateful, idolatrous, wrathful. The Spirit of God wants me to be joyful, loving, peaceful, good, and meek. So I got this thing going in my life. I got this old man, new man, old nature, new nature, flesh, spirit. I will control. I will control. I will control. I will control. You say, well, if the Spirit of God is just all powerful, why doesn't He just take control? Because God never shoves His way in anywhere. At least right now. Oh, He is. He will. But He doesn't shove His way in, friend. God wants you and me to choose to be under the control of His Spirit. Choose it. Remember sanctification? The flesh wants to draw me closer and closer to what I used to be. Full of all this mess. The Spirit wants to take me closer and closer to what I'm going to be. And it is a constant war. It is a contrariness. It is a battle. inside of the believer. The Spirit of God is in us. He is omnipotent, all-powerful, but the flesh and the spirit, both of them want to control and dictate and give orders in my life. Number four is in the form of a question. Who wins? Who wins? Well, look at verse 16. It's telling you who's winning. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Who wins? If I walk in the Spirit, if I yield to Him, if I give Him control, if I will give the Spirit of God control, mind, motives, members, thoughts, desires, actions, Spirit of God, control me today. If I'll walk, I'll work, I'll go to my job, I'll do my chores at home, I'll be a spouse, I'll be a parent, I'll be a child. If I live my life, if I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if I walk in the flesh, I won't fulfill the work of the Spirit. Think of it this way. I used this illustration some years ago in a message, and I preached the whole message on it. Let me just touch on it today. I don't know a whole lot about computers. I'm sure that will become clear, if it isn't already. But I do know that a computer has default settings. Default settings. Now, if you're not computer savvy, I don't know how to tell you to be computer savvy. But it has default settings. In my program, my Word program at home where I type documents, I'll type lessons for college or lessons for Wednesday night or lessons for Sunday school once in a while. My type, default setting is Bookman Old Style, size 11. I can read it. I can see it. I see the day coming where it's going to be 14. But right now it's 11. Now listen to me. When I open the computer, get the Word program opened, and start typing, walking, working, walking in that program, you know what appears on the screen? Bookman, Old Style, size 11. Because that's my default settings. If I get tired of that and want something different, I have to go to the font window and choose a different font and a different size. So I'm tired of Bookman. I'm not going to do the Sunday school lesson in Bookman Old Style 11 point today. I'm going to choose Times New Roman size 14. And I choose that and I start typing, working, walking in Times New Roman size 14. When we get up in the morning, our default setting is the flesh. I don't care what time you roll out of bed tomorrow. Roll out of bed, start your day, your default setting is flesh. So if you're not going to live in the flesh, guess what you got to do? You've got to choose to work or walk in the Spirit. Dear Spirit of God, I don't want to fulfill the lust of the flesh today. I don't want to talk in anger to my wife or my husband. I don't want to talk in anger to my children. I don't want to talk in anger at work. I don't want to have those thoughts. I don't want to have that. I want to be yielded to your Spirit today. Help me today. And you know what? If I do that at 8 o'clock, I'm probably going to have to do that again at noon. And I'll probably have to do that again at 3. And Tuesday morning, when I wake up and open my computer and start working early Tuesday morning, maybe on a document, you know what's going to be there? Bookman, old style, size 11, because that's my default setting. And when you wake up on Tuesday, your default setting, even if you walk in the Spirit on Monday, your default setting when you get to Tuesday is back to the flesh. Well, I know what I'll do, Pastor. I'll just change the default. That's going to happen. Right here. I can't change it. You can't change it. God's going to change it right here. Amen. I'm going to take you and I'm going to fix your default setting right now. So, Mr. Saved man, Mr. Saved lady, Mr. Saved young person, whoosh, no more sin nature. It's gone. Man, you mean no more temptation to lie and cheat and steal and get mad and take a drink in anger and get crazy? No, it's all gone because our default setting all through eternity will be sin, sin free. But until then, every morning, I start the day at Bookman Old Style 11 point. That's why Paul said, I die annually, monthly, weekly. What did he say? He said daily. So every day I get up, and in the waking moments of my day, Spirit of God, please control me today. Please control me. And by the way, I'm walking into work now, and God, you know, the fellows I work around are unsaved. And you know the stories and the language, God. Oh, Spirit of God, help me today, please. That's where our help is, folks. I'm so sick of this self-help stuff. Our help is in God and in His Spirit. Who lives in us? You got a, listen, I'm done. You got a demonstration of the weak link of sin that's causing you trouble in your life. Some of you teenagers, bless your heart, the demonstration of your weak link is you lie. You can't tell the truth. You lie, you lie, you lie. And you're born again. Have you asked the Spirit of God for help? Have you yielded Him today? Lord, I don't want to tell the truth. I don't want to tell the untruth today. I want to be honest and tell the truth. Please, control my tongue. Control my thoughts. Some of you are having difficulty with thoughts that you ought not have concerning your spouse, your marriage, your vow of faithfulness to your spouse. You're having trouble. Have you asked the Holy Spirit for help? Are you like me, the potential for your words to come spilling out and absolutely be like a sword that cuts a heart in two? Oh, I get so upset and frustrated because sometimes it's not even the volume of the voice, it's the tone that comes out with those words that just... If walk in the Spirit, I won't fulfill lust of the flesh. If I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust. God, help me to walk in the Spirit. All right, let's pray together. Thank you for listening. Lord God, thank you for your book. I pray that you'll please help us, Lord, to reach down and grab hold to biblical truth that is so much different than self-help nonsense. I pray that you'll help us, dear God, to find our help in the person of the Holy Spirit. Speak to hearts, I pray, in this room. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.